phone call, right?
Good morning. The Holiday Island Serve Improvement District Board of Commissioners is in session for a work session. It's Monday, October 20th at 9 a.m. We'll stand and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Rochford here. Commissioner Reagan?
Here.
Commissioner Stith?
Here.
Commissioner Pinkley?
Here.
Commissioner Ralph?
Here.
All present.
We have a quorum. This is a work session, so no motion, so we won't be voting on anything. The first item of discussion is the restaurant wages. Is this working?
Yeah, I don't know. Try me.
Is this microphone working?
Uh-uh.
Is it?
Yeah. It is working?
Yeah.
Okay. First item we have for discussion is the wages at the restaurant. I've had several people mention to me that we are having a high turnover rate with employees due to the low wages that we're paying.
And I want to discuss it with the board.
Well, it's working now.
Better now. That's what we should be paying as opposed to what we are paying.
So I would open it for discussion for the board and the public if you have some information that we might need for what we should be paying our restaurant employees.
Well, I think to start with, I think we're paying. I guess I was told that Kerry sets the wages at, is it $11 an hour?
That's Arkansas law. Arkansas employment laws. If they do not make their earnings and tips,
right,
then we bump it up to $11 an hour.
I went up there and talked to them, and that one day they made $38 total of tips. So they're not making enough money. That's why these people are quitting. I think we need to pay $16 an hour to keep the waitresses we have. And I think we need to pay $21 for cooks, because they can go anywhere and get a cook job for $20 an hour, or $25. You know, I have a friend that I golf with all the time. You know, he makes some words up in the weekend of $500 a weekend in tips. We don't have any kind of turnover like that. I mean, that's all out of the bar. Until we get a big bar business going, but I think $16 an hour, we don't have people leaving the place and quitting. So that's my opinion, and I talked to the gals up there, and they were, one of them was gonna leave the next day, and one of them was gonna leave the weekend, and I think they had already told them they were leaving. So I think that's a fair wage, because I don't think we get the tips up there, and if anybody can tell me, I have a list. I talked to the gals up there, we can find out exactly how many tips they're getting.
Well, we got a printout from Rich last week with the tips and wages. I have a copy of it in front of me. Looking at the overall for number one, the total waiver for the restaurant in percentage as opposed to the total dollar amount, where are we running around 12% cost of labor for the total dollar amount? So we have room to increase the wages and still be around 12 to 15%. But I want to get a feedback from the board, because we can't vote on it anyway, but we can at least talk about it. And one person I talked to at a restaurant in Eureka, a nice restaurant, and she said They got paid $10 an hour plus tips, and it worked out to where they, with tips, they made roughly 18 to 20 bucks an hour. I don't know that we can think that people are going to work here and stay here for 11 bucks. This is a tourist town. Things are expensive, rents are expensive. And in order to run this restaurant, we have to be fair with the wages. David?
First off, question. Refresh my memory. Weren't we like at $5 an hour?
$5 an hour for waitresses.
Yeah, see, that's, and a simple Google search now, you know, and I'm just going off like Indeed or ZipRecruiter of what averages are around us. So Berryville, for instance, the average is $13, $14 per hour in Berryville, with some ranging, current postings, for instance, are at $11 and as high as $25. That's Berryville.
And that's their base wage?
Correct. Those are based off of, you know, surveys for Indeed on what some restaurants are posting, for instance. Eureka Springs is a dollar high, but that's averaging 14 to 15 per hour. But again, the baseline, and again, this is way, per hour with tips, or before tips.
Okay.
So the lowest end that I'm seeing is $11 an hour for our two kind of neighboring cities.
It's 11 bucks.
That's the low end.
Yeah, see, we're having a high turnover.
You know, if we're not paying, if we sell, you know, if our margin on, we got this liquor, we spent $100,000+ in remodeling that place, getting it ready to go, and we got the liquor license, we could, you know, if they sell three drinks an hour, they pay their wages. They, you know, because we're probably going to make $5 a drink. So $5 times three drinks is $15. So we make their wages in three drinks if they serve three drinks an hour for that waitress that's working there. So I think the bar business is going to build us a lot of business if we have social hour, we have different kinds of things that we put on that sign. And we will make a lot of money, but we are not going to keep people there at paying what we're paying. Number one is, if they can go to Eureka and get that money, they'll make 10 times that much in tips. So let's keep them here, and let's keep... Guys, the wages for these people that work here are absolutely not a factor because of the tips, you know, that they won't get. I mean, if we could build this bar business and keep this bar business going here, we're going to make a lot more money, and that's why we spent all that money. I think it's unbelievable that we're not even thinking about that, what the return is on that thing, and especially good waitresses. And we have some very good ones out there.
I'm in agreement that their turnover is probably based on a $5 an hour. It's not competitive rate with our, I think that's what I'm agreeing with you on. I don't think that's a competitive rate right now.
Well, at $5, if it's a slow day, they're not making any money. It's not worth the time to even come to work.
Exactly.
So I guess, but in all of this, does the public want to make any comment about the wages at the clubhouse? Sure.
Sharon Waller, Table Rock Drive. I used to be a waitress, and I agree with you that the wages need to be higher to be competitive with Eureka, because we don't have as much activity here, so the tips are not going to be anywhere near what they are going to be in Eureka. The cost of food here is not anywhere near as high as some of those better restaurants down in Eureka. So I absolutely agree. If we want to build the traffic here at the restaurant, we have to have good wait staff. And it would be to our benefit to get that minimum, that basic wage up. And, you know, if at some point in time we start getting more people and they start making more tips, that's better for them, right? So I would say let's not nitpick at doing a couple dollars more. Let's hit them and give them a good wage to start with, and then we can start worrying about this other stuff. But if we have good wait staff, we will get more people here. Thank you.
Any other comments? Any commissioner comments? Carolyn?
I'm in agreement with what everybody said. We need good, we have good white staff and we're losing them, so we need to do something to.
Very well. I would ask that the commissioners think about it over the next week and we'll vote on it next Monday and we'll decide something as far as wages. But I want to at least discuss it today and see where everybody feels about it. And for the time being, we'll table it for the next meeting.
Can I try?
Sure.
So I went to the Cat House manager and the Cat House pays $3 an hour for waitresses. And then she did a study on Eureka Springs because she knew that was low and trying to get Jeff to raise it. And she said on average, it was $5 to $6 an hour in Eureka. The local pays $8 for waitresses and $9 for bartenders. So my, my little bit of research I did on it.
Nicole?
From talking to, and I realize there's a big difference, excuse me, between Eureka and here. And I get that the tips are higher there and I guess I get all of that. But in talking to a couple of the restaurant owners, they their wages are the $5 to $7 range with tips. And their cooks are, you know, they only, they have very limited full-time staff. And they have zero overtime. And I think that that's part of the issue that we're having as well, that's cutting into the funds because a lot of the money is going out in overtime for certain employees. So it's not necessarily about keeping certain staff because certain staff is getting a lot of overtime and certain staff is getting a lot of tips where it's affecting some of the other waitresses and cooks and things like that, that it's not, I feel like the hourly schedule is not proportional to the tips and the overtime that's happening. And so that's cutting into a lot of the profit margin is that a lot of this overtime that's happening and the tips for certain employees are much, much higher than other employees. So they're leaving because of tips, but why are they not getting the tips? Are they not getting the tips because certain people are taking more tips or they're taking more tables or there are more hours? I think there's a lot more to it than just raising the wages.
And to add on to that, the little chart that was sent out by you, Rich, it does show the tip ratio, but what I didn't see is an hour. Mm-hmm. The, those hours were zeroed out, which
it's hard
to compare.
This is just the tip.
I know, but yeah. if you're doing 60 plus hours because you're there more,
they would say when you have a line item or a column of tips, it doesn't say how long they worked to get that amount of tips. Right. Is that 10 hours or was that six? Or we have no way of knowing per hour what they're taking in tips.
Yep.
Well, anyway, we'll bring it up at the next meeting where we can actually vote on stuff. Sure, go ahead.
Hello. Alan Miller.
Push the button.
Oh. Right.
Thank you.
It sounds like everybody's in agreement that you'd like to do better in terms of wages, and that's smart because you do have an investment in the facility remodeling, and it's very, very nice. And we want to see people here. You haven't mentioned Misty, though, who is running the operation. So if you're in agreement that let's bring up wages, go ahead and communicate with Misty and find out what she would recommend for the tips and for the base hourly wage, and that should do it. You know, I would go with at least, you know, hear her out and see what she says, and I'm sure it'll be, you would be in agreement with whatever she concludes.
I have talked to Missy.
Okay.
Over an hour, maybe two, mm-hmm. about this very subject. She told me that we need to pay more, that we don't get the tips. There's a lot of days that we just don't have the people, but he said the absolute, the people around here do not tip. I was there one day when a guy got a six pack of beer served out there. He left him a 50-cent tip.
That's
bad. Now, yeah. I mean, this is a joke.
It is. That's terrible.
So we, you know, we make that wage up there around $16, and then we keep our waitresses, and we don't have to worry about them running away because they don't get any tips.
Yeah, it sounds like a smart plan. Yeah. Even more.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. And I assure you that at next Monday's meeting, we'll have Misty here to be engaged in this conversation.
Yeah, I was hoping she'd be here too, but when
Typically, when we have this on the agenda, typically Misty is here.
Yeah,
I didn't invite her, and I should have.
No,
she could make it.
She can't make it because she's covering for the lack of staff. So I want to make sure we put that out. So.
Yeah. All right, moving on. The next item on the discussion was the Hillcrest Clubhouse update. I was approached a couple of weeks ago about the women's locker room at the clubhouse and Hilco, the Holiday Island
Ladies
Golf Association, took it upon themselves and totally remodeled it. It looked beautiful. And the Hilco reps that I spoke with are asking that they just be reimbursed for the materials. They volunteered to do all the painting and all the remodel work, and several of their husbands helped with painting and whatever went on over there. But if it's not been in there, I suggest you take a walk through the women's locker room at the clubhouse and see what beautiful job they did. Hilda's, all they're asking for is that they be reimbursed for their materials, which is a total. I've got their receipts. They spent $662.14 on materials.
I'm trying to help you because your seat's knocking out. You want to smoke that out? I'm not talking this way.
Hello?
I'm not talking this way.
So I assured the women from Hilda that I would bring it up at our work session and we'll discuss it and see what their feelings are. My feeling is that they spent a lot more money on labor that they didn't charge for than the actual materials. They spent a lot of hours over there redoing that. And it did nothing but benefit all of Holiday Island. So I guess I'm asking for the board some discussion as to whether or not we should pay this.
I think we ought to pay. I mean, I think, you know, I know my wife was over there, and I know we had lots of people working. We had a couple guys that worked there a lot of hours. I think one sitting right over there, and they worked a lot of hours in there and did. And that was tough work because they had to fit everything together, you know, and they put that stuff in there and it looks beautiful. I think that the measly $600 and stuff, we could have remodeled it. We would have got that in labor. We'd have had three times that in labor.
I agree. Sherilyn?
I agree. If all they're asking for is reimbursement of materials, that goes back into their funds to continue their groups up.
Well, you walked through it.
Yeah.
And?
It's beautiful. They did a wonderful job.
Okay.
I would agree as well. They really, it looks beautiful. It's fantastic.
What was the total?
616?
662.
I'm sorry?
What was the total again?
The total?
The total was $662.14. And that these are receipts from Home Depot, Walmart, all the stuff that they bought, materials to do that. And I think the cost, actually, for the work that was done and the way it looks, I think was very reasonable. David?
I agree, we have a lot of great, you know, Hilda's one example. We have a lot of great organizations that do help support all of us in different aspects. This is just one example, and we do help I believe we've helped with materials and costs and past some of these other organizations. Correct me if I'm wrong.
We did. We appropriated money for HIMGA to buy asphalt and the supplies they need to maintain the cart paths on the 18 hole, which HISA charges $250 a year to drive your own cart around on the cart paths, and that money that we get is supposed to be used for maintaining the golf course and the cart paths. And we took some money out of that amount, which I believe was around $20,000 a year is what we collect, and we appropriated $2,000 or thereabouts to HIMGA. And Hilda just wants their fair share.
And I think they should be commended. And what I'm trying to get at is I think the more that we support these organizations, the better they'll support us. So I'm personally in favor of it. So we can talk more about it, I guess, next week.
Well, as I said earlier, we can't vote on these things today, but we can talk about them at least. Get Alan, go ahead. You got a comment you want to make about it?
Thanks. Keep in mind, all my ideas are not good, but I think I do 120%. And on that 20%, you'd be saying, hey, we really appreciate your efforts. You are valuable. That's as best we can do. And I think I'd give them the 20% credit at the restaurant to get them at the restaurant. And I'll bet they'd be spending more money and you'd be getting it back in that form. Just a thought.
Good idea. Any other comments about the clubhouse update? Moving on, we'll just make a brief mention. David is going to talk briefly about. We had.
So.
Go ahead, David.
I was going to say, one of our property owners, Sheila Wolf, who owns the Sheila Wolf Fitness Center, had, you know, she had reached out to the board and had a question about one of her parcels behind them. It's a vacant parcel behind the center. Long story short, she was trying to see if they could have it rezoned. For a variety of reasons, including the working with the city, it would not be feasible to do that. When we showed her the cost difference, that she would only be saving like roughly $64.20 to go through this whole process to try and rezone and all the legal issues that would go with it, she said, I'm fine with this. And she thought it was a lot higher she was paying, and it was only a difference of $60-some. And so to type in make it residential. So I can go into more detail if you want, but I talked to her on Friday, and she said, you know, don't even worry about talking about it at the meeting. Go ahead and pull it off the agenda. She's happy, and she's already paid. She's earned it. So everything's good.
Good enough. Moving on. We last meeting voted to purchase a VersaBoom, and I was since notified since then that we didn't get accurate totals on what that VersaBoom actually is going to cost. And I guess that's why I brought it up for discussion, is the invoice that we looked at and voted on was $166,000.
That was taxed on the board.
None of the bids were perfect. Yeah, when we had the three full bids for the three new tractors, two bids for John Deere's and this Holland one that was voted and approved of, we all discussed that the prices did not include tax. So we all even discussed that each of the bids would need to have tax included when we voted.
Okay.
And there's three, and just to reiterate, we did have our three full required bids to be able to vote.
Well, David, the whole thing is that when you compare $166,000, which is what we were presented with last week, and I look at the John Deere bid at $182,000, and it looks like it's way out of the ballpark, but when you actually add on the tax and everything on to the first bid, they're $2,500 apart.
But that also, that John Deere bid also did not include taxes. None of the bids had taxes.
None of them include tax.
So again,
so we still got to add on another 10 or 12 grand.
Correct. None of the bids that we had sales tax included in them.
And we did discuss that.
We did talk about it, that there was going to be the difference.
Right. The last bid, right. There was no tax on it.
Right. But none of the bids had taxes on it. So even that,
okay.
The John Deere one.
So we're comparing apples to apples.
Exactly.
Correct.
Okay. And the out the door price is $180,940.
Yep, correct. Delivered to us.
And do we still have the 6 month correct?
No. They had the tractor on hand, and they're shipping the tractor off to have the VersaBoom installed.
Cool. Okay. The next item on the agenda was, I got a letter from text or email from Dan, I believe it's Dan Overgaard. Are you the one that sent the text?
Yes, sir.
The email.
About the pickleball courts.
Yes.
We'll discuss it right now.
Okay, Dan Overgaard, 6 Quail Run Drive. I was just trying to bring
to the board's attention that the pickleball courts need some maintenance.
Can you expound on that? I haven't been over there to look at it, but I know that, I'm going to say, no more than about 4 years ago, those courts were resurfaced.
Okay. I've only been playing on the courts for a couple of years now. The main issue that I wanted you to be aware of is that there are cracks in the surface. At some point, someone tried to repair the cracks, but it needs to be addressed again. Because the difference between the cracks of what I saw last year and this year, I mean, you can tell they're getting worse. And I think that if you address them in a timely fashion, you'll have less of a problem than if you wait. We talked to Janice about it earlier in the year, thinking that, well, if it could be done before winter, maybe something could be done to seal them up before water and ice got down in there and made them worse. That's obviously not going to happen now. But I just wanted to bring it to your attention that...
Why can't that happen now?
Well, I figured you would have to get it onto a budget and appropriate money. I have no idea what this would cost. I mean, we're not an organized... We have a large group of people that play down there, and there's more being added to it all the time. But we just wanted, I personally just wanted to draw your attention that if it gets done in a timely fashion, I think you'll have less of a problem than if it gets put off.
Dan, is it in a way right now that we just still cracks and we'd be okay?
See, I don't know what the best procedure, that is what's been done before. I mean, I have no idea what these things cost or how to go about it. It's been, I mean, a couple of people have down there said, well, let's just go get a grinder and level them out and do it ourselves and fill them in. But, you know, we've been taking care of the windscreens and keeping the courts clean. But taking a grinder to your property is something that I'm not going to try to do, and I don't have any expertise in doing that. I think that if they were ground down and the difference and leveled off, and I don't see why you just can't put a sealer in there and put some more paint on it. I think Rich, you went down and went through it at one point with somebody and with a company, and Janice said she never heard anything back on it, so we don't have any idea what happened to that. There's also another, the cracks are the issue that I think is the big thing. Also, we lost one of the windscreens earlier this year. It just aged and it ripped. So I mean, it's been taken down. The shorter one on the north side. We're going to lose another of the windscreens. The longer one on the south side. It's shredding. It's going to have to come down. It can't hardly be fastened up to the fence anymore because it's ripped out at the rivets. So you know, we can play without windscreens, but the surface. You know, right now we're hitting the ball around, and you know sometimes it shoots off because it hits a crack, and it's just you've got an asset there that I think is worth preserving. And with, I don't know how much effort it would take to fix those cracks.
Well, I fix the cracks in our driveway, and there's a product that's what you do is it self levels. And it's like a rubberized, so you just take a gun and shoot it, and that's all there is. It comes in a big tube.
I have no idea what the best way to proceed with it is. I just wanted to make sure that there was, that you were aware that, you know, it's getting worse.
Dan, I appreciate you doing that. I think you and I talked, and I agree, you know, typical cracks, once they start, water gets in there, freezing, it gets worse. So I agree that we need to fix and
make it. Well, that's what you do to it.
Yeah. My question is, though, Rich, you said you haven't heard back from them. How many bids we're going to need more? Well, depending on the cost, we may need more than one bid.
We just reached out to this one company because this is something that they did and had them.
Can we get some volunteer help? I mean, to fill those cracks? I mean, you do it with a gun.
Again,
Well, I can say this. I think the last time it was resurfaced was around $35,000.
Okay, well,
that's, and to touch on your, so when they resurfaced it 4 years ago, there was a rubber membrane that was down, and they had to peel that entire membrane up. Then they took and they sealed the cracks that they had and made it good, and then painted the lines. And so that's why it was so expensive then. And so what this company did, they came in, they measured out all the cracks, and they'll go in and they'll cut them into a V, the cracks down into a V, and you know, actually how you repair a crack correctly. And then you take and you refill it, and then they'd have to repaint the lines or repaint everything so that way it blends back in. The only thing is, and we checked with them last week, and we still have not gotten a bid back on them. The main thing we just want to know was what the additional cost is going to be, and if it's over $10,000, of course, then we got to get three bids.
Okay, well, and that was, that had to been a few months ago that you...
It was probably a month ago.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Last time it rained, so a month ago.
Okay.
We stood out there to rain.
Okay, well, I just want...
Me and Alan and his wife and all this.
So it's on the radar, it sounds like.
Okay,
yeah.
And that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the proper way to proceed is, but, you know...
I think you did it the right way. And I think you bring it to our attention. We don't all play pickleball. I don't.
Sure.
So I don't have much reason to go over there.
And we've got a fairly large group of people.
I know you do. That great following nationwide.
Okay. Yeah, it's a growing... And like I say, I think you've got... If it's in good shape, you're going to get more people out here. And we're trying to get more people involved with it all the time. And we have a great time down there, and we'd really appreciate if something could be done with the surface.
Well, I'd rather spend a couple grand now and do some preventive maintenance than wait till it's so bad we got to spend another 40 grand resurface.
I don't know. I've heard different things about it. I didn't know if Heiss had put up the windscreens, or somebody said a property owner bought the windscreens and got them installed or something. But anyway,
I have no idea, but maybe IHOP's got some money or somebody
can
help
us
out.
But anyway, I think the one on the south side, is we can't fasten it to the fence anymore because, like I say, it's ripped out. It's probably going to have to come down because when the wind's blowing, it blows up and gets in your way. You can't,
okay.
You know. It's shredded. It is shredded, yeah.
All right.
So, but okay, thank you very much.
Dan, we'll stay on it.
Moving on, the golf course restroom.
I had three different ladies call me about the condition of the restrooms on the 18 hole. And I said I would bring it up to the work session and we'll find out why that's a difficult problem on the 18 hole. So I guess first off, I'm not for certain who's responsible for cleaning the washrooms on the 18 hole.
It has always been the guy that is doing the cart washing. He usually goes out and takes care and cleans and takes off the trash in the 18-hole golf course.
I had a call from one lady who said they were out on 18 and the bathroom was so bad they could not use the washroom. And I said, we will talk about it today and we'll figure out something to make sure that they get checked and cleaned on a daily basis. I mean, we got people up there every day going by those buildings, and it can't take more than 10 minutes to pick up toilet paper and wipe off some the sinks and stuff.
So they're functional, they're just not being cleaned. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's pretty much what I've built.
It's not clean. I mean, my wife says sometimes it's pretty bad.
Men don't care where they go, but
well, I use men most of the time. Phyllis Throughout, Holiday Island Drive. The biggest problem, I think, is the restroom on number 15, because it has had ongoing water problems and or drainage problems. And the one on number 5, yeah, I could use a good sweep and, you know, everyday cleaning. But I think without any specific knowledge of what the women were complaining about, you might see what's going on with number 15 as far as how often they have to go out there and unplug it. And also, it seems like when it rains, that one gets a lot of water on the floor. And
it's
a drainage problem.
Yeah, it runs in there.
Yeah, it runs in there. So what you can do about that, I don't know. But I think probably number, the one on number 15 is the biggest question.
I'd have to put some kind of overlay to run the water away from it.
Yeah.
Or put a drain in, just drill a hole in the cement, put a drain in it.
I'm trying to remember if there was.
Those are what I have experienced since I played golf.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on the golf course washrooms? Carl, you had a comment you were going to make?
Yes. Last month we held a golf tournament. We invited 47 teams. We invited 47 teams to come up here and play, right? My wife was in charge of this golf tournament. Coltrane and number two Dallas Drive. I don't even know where that's from. My wife went around to the bathrooms and looked at them, and they were such disgusting. She went to the golf course manager and asked him to go out there and clean them, since it's his guys that are responsible for doing the cleaning. He told her, he said, I close at 5 o'clock this afternoon. I don't know whether we can get to it or not. So my wife went out there with a friend. They spent 2 hours cleaning these bathrooms so that we can have 70 people come here and go into a decent-looking bathroom if and when they needed it. So you're telling me that these guys that are paid employees to come and wash the golf carts, how many times you walk up there and they're sitting out there in the golf cart on the telephone waiting for somebody to come in with a dirty golf cart? So that's where we're at right now. We have somebody who says, I close at 5 o'clock this afternoon. I'm not going to go out there and do that. It's your responsibility, okay? You own those bathrooms. So, we went down there, we cleaned them, and we just need somebody to take care of them.
Thank you very much, Carl. I think going forward, the district manager can convey to the golf cart washers that it's a daily item, checklist item. They need to check the washrooms and clean them as necessary. And I think that's all we can do is ask the employees that currently work here to address the issue.
Good job.
Right. It's more. Any other comments about the washrooms?
Not ask.
18 home.
I just know that a lot of times, even in the men's restroom, they smell so bad. Don't even want to go in there.
Yeah, that men's restroom you told me about on 15, yeah. That toilet wasn't even fastened down.
Yeah, it was leaking all over.
Yeah, so I had to pull it, refill it, fasten it down, and seal it, so.
I know, I told you about it, and you went out there and said it wasn't even bolted down.
Yeah, it wasn't even bolted down.
Yeah, jeez. That means everything. You and everything was running on the ground. So we aren't maintaining them, but I think they look like they're trying once in a while, but not real often. That's not daily. Because I'm out there about every day, and we use it about every day.
Any other discussion from the public? Any other discussion from the commissioners?
I have one.
Go ahead.
Just before the meeting, where I had the staff print out with a draft regulation that's in front of us, and for the public, for the public, this is going to be, I'm sharing it with the board so that they can look at it. We'll post it to the website. But it's regulation amending certain portions of Chapter 2, Administration of the Code of Regulations, Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District, specifically dealing with our undesignated reserve fund. If you recall, in some of the previous meetings, the board canceled the, can you hear me? The board canceled the bond for the UV project, canceled moving forward with the bond, with the premise that we would pay for it, that and other things through our major project fund, but also some of the items like the water tower, to not cash in one of our CDs that's maturing this month. Or yeah,
October 25th.
Yes, and I don't have the exact cost, but it's in the $500K realm. Mm-hmm. And so, if we do not renew that bond, the regulation
if
for
we do not renew that CD.
Another CD, I'm sorry. If we do not renew that CD, that would put us below our undesignated reserve fund percentage, where we're supposed to be within 35% to 45% of our undesignated reserve fund cash on hand available to be able to use. So our accountant says if we don't renew that bond, that will put us at 20, or the bond, the CD, that will put us at 24%. So we would have to do a regulation, which we talked about previously, and all this regulation is doing is in section 2, you'll see there's a line out from 35 to 24%. The upper threshold of 45% remains, and the rest of the language in the proposed new regulation would stand. So we don't, I mean, you can discuss if you have any questions. You haven't read it yet, but that's the only change from what the current ISA reg is.
Right.
And we would, the goal is to get this on the agenda for a first reading. We'd like to do two readings. The first reading would be next week.
Well, we can take a vote on it next week.
The first one, yes.
Yes, and the board now has the regulation in front of them. They can read it over, and we'll vote on it next week.
Correct.
I'll make a motion to adjourn. I'll make a motion to adjourn. I think we've covered everything on the agenda.
I'll say.
We don't have...
Is it a best practice to reduce our reserve requirement down to 24% when it's been set at 35 to 45% simply because if you leave the CD in, the current CD will remain within the requirement. Is that correct?
Correct.
We'll be over.
If you're over, I don't see that it's a good practice to reduce our reserve requirement to only 24%. I think it's in the district's best interest to keep it in the 35 to 45 range. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, I'm making a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
So moved and seconded, this meeting is adjourned.